This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Stephen Gutwillig joins me on the program. He is the policy director, the state policy director, for the Drug Policy Alliance, and that is online at drugpolicy.org. Stephen, how are you, sir?
Great to be with you again, Coy.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. What is the very latest on Proposition 19?
Well, we're 2 weeks and 1 day from Election Day, although we do have substantial early voting in California, but it is still looking like it is too close to call, and Proposition 19, the historic ballot initiative to legalize marijuana in California, could go either way.
So now this is different from what we were talking about a few days ago. It looked like the votes in favor of passing were looked like they were taking a healthy lead. Did it?
It was never that far ahead. We've had polls that were all over the map for the last couple of months. But what was interesting was the polls that came out earlier this month showed that there was a substantial trending upward for the yes vote. Polls in September showed it losing. Polls in October are starting to show it win, which is unusual for any kind of progressive reform on the ballot. Usually you watch them lose support toward Election Day as folks start to wonder whether change is really a good thing. You know, change is hard for folks to vote for, even when you're talking about something as widely agreed upon that, you know, that banning marijuana isn't working very well for us.
And this, of course, we're talking with Stephen Gutwillig of the Drug Policy Alliance. This, of course, Proposition 19, the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. Stephen, quickly just remind us of the main points of the act that people are voting on.
This is a fairly modest reform, even though it's the first kind of legalization initiative that's being voted on in the country. It would eliminate criminal penalties for adults 21 and over to possess small amounts of marijuana, up to an ounce of it, and allows them to cultivate small amounts of marijuana for their own use. And then it delegates to local governments, the cities and counties across the state of California, the right, if they choose, to regulate and tax sales of marijuana to adults also 21 and over. But if they don't do anything, those sales remain illegal within their jurisdictions.
We're talking with Stephen Gutwillig of the Drug Policy Alliance. And, of course, the big news most recently, Stephen, was the reaction by the feds. Attorney General Eric Holder said just last week that the Obama administration would strongly oppose Proposition 19. What's your reaction to that, and what does this mean exactly?
Well, I'm not sure just, you know, how big news it is to anyone that the federal government still supports the ban on marijuana, I mean, which is essentially what the Attorney General was saying, that no matter what California does, the feds don't think it's a good idea. But, of course, you know, it's their job to support marijuana prohibition and the drug war, regardless of how many decades into this failed war we are and just how much consensus there is. That's what the establishment does until reforms start percolating up from the states, which is how change of this nature generally happens. And so, you know, what Attorney General Holder is suggesting is that the feds may try to block the implementation of Proposition 19 if it passes, which is also probably not that much of a surprise. But there's really a limit on how much the federal government can do that, because the states are not required to enforce federal law. We're not required to even agree with federal law. They have to use their own resources if they want to enforce laws that disagree with laws at the state level.
This really is an interesting chapter in the history of federalism for this country, when voters in a state can decide how they want to do something, and the federal government can come in and say, no, you're not going to do that. I guess the most historic example, of course, is civil rights in this country, but it's very interesting. Now, what are people saying? When they sit around the table at the Drug Policy Alliance, what are y'all's views on this?
Well, I mean, it is exactly as you say. I mean, this is just one more example of what our unique system of government looks like, you know, when you have these sort of parallel governments at the, you know, at the state and the federal level, and there are some issues that are decided and controlled at the state level and some by the feds. And within the world of drug policy reform, this is 1996 all over again, when California passed the first medical marijuana law in the country. The Clinton administration tried to block its implementation and fought it all the way to the Supreme Court and lost. And today, there are 14 states in the District of Columbia, home to 80 million Americans who have access to medicinal marijuana, even though there has been no change in federal law. It is still, all of that is still technically illegal under federal law, but the Obama administration, following more than a decade of resistance from the Clinton and the Bush administrations, basically made a political accommodation and said, okay, we're just going to stop trying to restrict access to medical marijuana in the states that choose to pass these laws. We imagine that the implementation of regulated marijuana for adult consumption that will restrict access to marijuana to young people, that's now universally available to any teen that wants it, and all of the crime, violence, and corruption that comes with the enormous black market that the prohibition on marijuana has created. We imagine that eventually the federal government will follow the same route that they have with medical marijuana, letting the states decide for themselves.
We are talking with Stephen Gutwillig. He is the state director of the Drug Policy Alliance in California, online at drugpolicy.org. California, of course, the voters will go to the polls in November and vote yes or no on Proposition 19, the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. Eric is on the program. Eric, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Well, it's nice to see that the Attorney General has so much time on his hands that he can be has time to worry about this state initiative of a totally nonviolent activity. I mean, obviously, all the terrorists have been caught, all the murderers are incarcerated, and now the Attorney General really focuses his attention on marijuana. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, for your guest, I wonder if he thinks we've reached a tipping point where, if California does this, the rest of the nation will feel safe to follow suit. And I also wanted to know if you, if the Drug Policy Alliance, had done any studies about the potential tax revenue that the state might generate from regulated sales of marijuana.
Great, great questions. I think Eric's exactly right that this is essentially saber rattling on the part of the Attorney General, responding to the law enforcement lobby and you know, former heads of the Drug Enforcement Association who demanded that he speak out, and so he did, simply reiterating current federal policy. Now, in terms of the tipping point, I actually do think we're there. I mean, we have seen that support for not just lowering penalties for marijuana possession in this country, but for actually ending marijuana prohibition outright and replacing it with a system of regulating marijuana, kind of the way we do alcohol, is almost at majority support across the entire country. We're seeing in polls, we're seeing that we're already at more than majority support in the western states among Democrats and progressives and almost among all independent voters, and certainly among voters under the age of 30 across the spectrum. So if California passes Proposition 19, I imagine that there will immediately be an avalanche of other states that follow suit. I think if Proposition 19 happens to fail, I also think that we are still going to see other reforms of this nature moving forward in other states. California is a very difficult state to pass reforms. It's such an enormous population. It's so expensive to run these kinds of initiatives, and it's very hard to penetrate the consciousness of voters. And there are smaller states that you know, in the Pacific Northwest and in the West that are already moving forward with these kinds of reforms. And then the final question about revenue, it has been estimated by actually the California Tax Board that if California were to regulate and tax marijuana in the same way that we currently do alcohol, that would generate almost $1.5 billion in new revenue for the state every year.
We're talking with Stephen Gutwillig. He is the state director of the Drug Policy Alliance, online at drugpolicy.org. We are discussing Proposition 19, which would legalize small uses of marijuana, decriminalize the use of marijuana. And the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Stephen, you mentioned earlier the controlling marijuana like we do alcohol. And here in Virginia, our governor, conservative Republican governor, has proposed that the state get out of the liquor business and that we privatize all our ABC stores, alcohol beverage control center stores, and the state sells liquor in this here in Virginia, and he wants to get the state out of the liquor business. And what's most interesting is that a lot of the opposition to what you would think would be a very conservative approach to liquor here in Virginia is being opposed by social conservatives who think that liquor is so dangerous and so evil that the state should control it, should control its sale. And yet, clearly by that thinking, marijuana is even more evil and dangerous because they won't it won't even be legalized in any way. But you would think by that logic that they would want to legalize marijuana, bring it out of the dark, and let the state control that as well.
There are a lot of ironies there, and you know, alcohol and tobacco as well are objectively far more harmful on, you know, to individuals who consume them and certainly to our societies. I'm sure most of your listeners know that the hundreds of thousands of people who are killed by cigarette smoking every year and the nearly 100,000 people who die as a direct result of alcohol consumption in this country alone every year swamp any kind of overall harm that marijuana is responsible for. Although of course there are harms associated with marijuana, but like the reason we regulate and control the reason we regulate and control alcohol and tobacco is not because they are harmless. We do that specifically in order to control the harms that are associated with them, and we do that for better or for worse, and we do it in different ways in different states. But what's becoming clear to more and more people is that when you ban a substance that's as widely available and as widely consumed as marijuana already is, that you're just going to create this massive black market, but you're also going to magnify the harms that are associated with marijuana, such as the out-of-control access that young people have and the content issues, that, you know, no one knows what's in the marijuana that they're being given by street dealers and by the criminal syndicates that have monopoly over this market, and they don't care, you know, who they're selling to at what age and what's in the marijuana that they're selling them. So regulation really is the norm for how we address substances that are widely available and consumed in our society but carry some risks associated with them. Banning them outright is the outlier. It's the failed experiment that just simply makes matters worse.
And you would have thought we would have learned that from alcohol prohibition in the 30s, and yet it's taken decades to learn this about marijuana. What about the objection that marijuana is the gateway drug, and that if you decriminalize this in any way, you'll just allow young people to get hooked on much, much worse drugs that are illegal?
The notion that marijuana actually somehow physically leads people to try other illicit substances has been debunked and is no longer even invoked anymore by the federal government. I mean, the institutes of health have debunked that notion. There really is no gateway phenomenon related to marijuana or to any other substance. I know that there are, you know, people in their own experience feel that one thing led to another. And that may be, you know, that may be true in terms of the associations that they have, but medically, scientifically, and as a matter of public health, marijuana does not lead to anything. In fact, statistically, it's the opposite. You know, for the overwhelming majority of people who try marijuana, it's the only illicit substance that they will ever use in their lifetimes. Marijuana is you know, what's referred to, frankly, as a terminus drug. It is the only illicit substance that anyone tries. But you know, it is. These are all, of course, reasons why you need to regulate things because. You know, as I've said in a bunch of different ways, marijuana, whether we like it or not, has become a mainstream recreational drug used by, you know, something like 10% of all the people in California and 40% of all adults in the United States, according to the World Health Organization. So you know, we're not going to put this genie back in the bottle or wish it away or arrest our way out of the problems that are created by marijuana. We basically have to stop mythologizing and moralizing about marijuana and start managing the realities of marijuana as it is today.
Stephen Gutwillig is the state director of the Drug Policy Alliance in California. Prop 19 is what's keeping him awake at night these days. Stephen, we'll look forward to talking to you again very soon, and good luck on Election Day.
I appreciate that and look forward to talking to you again.
That's Stephen Gutwillig. He's online at drugpolicy.org.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.